Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning. Our scripture reading is found in Romans chapter 1, and I'm reading verses 18 to 25. This is Romans chapter 1, reading verses 18 to 25. And hear now the word of God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And may God add to understanding this portion of his holy word. I know that sometimes all of us are prone to look at life, to look at our culture right now, and say, what in the world is happening? What's happening to our country? What's happening to this world? You know, in some ways, it's almost like the story of Alice in Wonderland, where Alice, this pretty little girl, happens to chase this rabbit and goes down into a rabbit hole and comes out into something that's completely different from what she understands. Everything seems to be backwards or turned upside down. She sees things and experiences things that she thought she would never see or experience. There was another story that was written almost at the same time, and it was called Behind the Looking Glass. And again, it's about a little girl that gets up on a mantle and looks into a mirror, a big mirror, and she's able to walk through the mirror. And when she does, she enters a land where everything is backwards. Everything is backwards. And she's confused and she doesn't know what to do. I think there are many times when we feel the same way. We feel like we're looking at life, we're looking at our culture, we're looking at our society and saying, I don't recognize any of this. What in the world is happening? We can no longer depend on those beliefs that we've held sacred or certain for so many years. Things that we have based our future on, things that we have based the remainder of our lives on, and all of a sudden everything's being thrown up in the air to the wind. Well, what's causing all this? What's causing this tremendous change? And I want you to be honest with me and know that I'm not just blowing smoke in the wind here. I know that you know that this is the truth. You can see it when you watch television. You can see it on the news. You can see it in our societies. Things are changing very rapidly. And it's not because we want them to change. They're changing whether we like it or not. But what's causing it? You know, some people will just say, well, it's the result of certain evil individuals. These evil individuals that are pulling the strings and they're causing these terrible things to happen. Well, not just evil leaders here in the United States, but evil leaders around the world. In fact, we could probably even pinpoint some of them, give them names, give them faces. These are the people that are causing all this to happen. But that's too simplistic, really. Because beyond those individuals, we have a sovereign God. We have a God who holds all things in his hands, and nothing happens apart from him. And so our natural response is, oh, is God to blame for all this? Is it his fault that all this is happening? The truth of the matter is, God is allowing it to happen. He's allowing it to happen because our nation and the nations of this world are under his judgment. He is judging this world. I know sometimes we say, well, I never thought I would live long enough to see these things take place. Well, here's the truth. It's not going to happen. It's happening. We're in the middle of God's judgment right now. People always say, do you think we're in the last days? Is this? Yes, we are in the last days. Of course, if we read Scripture correctly, we've been in the last days since Jesus left this earth. But now we're in the last of the last days. And we have references in Scripture that says, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to take place. And we always think, well, it'll happen after I'm gone. It'll happen when I'm dead and gone. This is what's going to happen. It's happening right now. We're in the middle of it. You remember what we read about Lot in Hebrews chapter 11, when Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it says his righteous soul was vexed. And what it meant there was that he was stirred up inside over what he saw and what he had to deal with day by day. And I know that many of us as Christians, as believers, are looking at the world around us and we're vexed in our spirit. We're saying, why? Lord, please turn this around and change it. Send us somebody, anybody, that can correct these problems. Help us to get back to where we used to be, when we enjoyed life and had fun, and now everything seems to be so turned upside down. Well, how do you know when it's God's judgment? How do you know that we can point to all this and say, well, this is God's judgment on the earth, God's judgment on the United States? How can we come to that kind of a conclusion? Well, the text that we read this morning makes it pretty clear. Romans chapter 1, written by the Apostle Paul to the Roman church. And this is chapter 1. This is in the very beginning of his letter to them. And he was saying, this is what you're going through right now. And I'm going to tell you why you're going through it. I know as Christians and as believers, we ask ourselves, well, God, why is this happening? Well, our text makes it clear, and it tells us why. Any nation or culture that turns away from God and turns away from God's truth will receive God's judgment. They will experience the wrath of God. So, wow, that's pretty powerful, what you're saying. That's pretty powerful. But try to think about the number of cultures, the number of civilizations that have disappeared. You know, we're familiar to some degree with the Egyptians and the greatness of Egypt. Where is it now? We're familiar with the greatness of the Greeks and all that they had to offer. Well, where are they now? How about the Romans? Where are they? How about the Mayans and their tremendous civilization? They just made another huge discovery down in Central America of the Mayan culture. Huge, many acres of huge buildings. They just made this discovery. Where are they? All of these civilizations had one thing in common, and that is that they denied the living God. They denied him. They've been wiped out. They refused to acknowledge God, and now they're gone. So I think, first of all, let's consider, what is the wrath of God? And by the way, last Sunday we talked about the old-time religion, Give me that old-time religion. Somebody came up to me after church and they said, well, where's the hellfire and brimstone? Here it is. What's the wrath of God? Well, the wrath of God comes in different forms. And again, we know this from Scripture, but we also know this from history. The wrath of God comes in other forms, in many forms. One is his eternal wrath, and that's levied against those who continue to reject him until their death. And God says, upon them is his wrath. And they have waiting for them a very real hell. Hell has been described in many ways, but we know it is a separation from God. And that may not sound all that terrible, but stop and think. God is responsible for every good thing, for every kind word, for every generous deed, for every moment of mercy in your life. It all comes from the hand of God. Take all that away so that there is no more. And put that into eternity. God's eternal wrath. There's also God's eschatological wrath. It's a big word. But what it means, eschatological, means end times. And we can look in Revelation and we can see the different events that happen in Revelation as a testimony of the fact that God will bring judgment onto the earth and onto the peoples of the earth, the nations of the earth. End times. There's also cataclysmic wrath. And we can see this through the earthquakes and the floods, and especially the worldwide flood, the Genesis flood, when God said that he considered man and saw that there was no good thing, that they were thinking about evil all day long, every day. And it says that God repented that he had created man. And he wiped out all men except for one family. That's cataclysmic wrath. And then, of course, there are natural consequences that show God's wrath, consequences of our own sin and rebellion. And we experience that from time to time in our lives. But there's another wrath that's spoken about in Romans chapter 1. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. This is a wrath of abandonment. It's a wrath of God abandoning nations, peoples, cultures. And this is historical. We can look this up. Just like I asked you, where are these great civilizations that once existed? What happened? See, this is an act of God allowing nations to go their own way, to do their own thing. We don't want God anymore. We want to remove God from everything. Remove him from the schools. Remove him from the governments. Remove him even from culture. Take down all the crosses. Remove God. And God allows it. All right. You want to take me out of your schools? All right. What's happened since? You know what? You want to take me out of your government? Okay. What's happened since? In a sense, God gives them over. You know, in Acts chapter 14, verse 16, it says this. It says, in past generations, God allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. You see, that's God giving them over. I'm not going to try to turn you. I'm not going to try to convict you. I'm just going to let you go. Because you believe in your heart somehow that you know better than me. So I'm going to let you go. I'll let you do it. You see, it's one of the reasons why God gave us a conscience. Individually gave us a conscience. So that when we start to do something that God knows is going to harm us or hurt us or hurt others, that conscience weighs down on us so that we don't want to do it. God gives nations a conscience. And when they ignore him and reject him, he just lifts it back. Go ahead. See what happens as a result. This is God giving nations over to the way that they want to go. And see, this is what Paul was telling the Romans in Romans chapter 1, the passage that we read. This is what he means when he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that he's made." So it's not a question of people didn't know. They did know. Like it says in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, men, it's not that men had not the truth. Men had the truth, but they preferred the darkness. And when that happens, God says, "All right, I'm going to let you go. You go ahead. You bear the results of what you've done." See, God placed his works on display for everybody to see. And men have tried from the beginning to explain away all these things through evolution, through science, through whatever. No, it's not an almighty God who loves us and cares for us. Why, this is just a natural procedure of things. These men are not without the truth. We have the truth. God has made it clear. We've chosen not to listen. In fact, Paul even goes a step beyond that. And he says that this truth has been suppressed, has been kept from people through unrighteousness, so that they won't listen, so that they can't understand. Verse 21, it says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Now, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he said, "When the eye is clear, the body is full of light. But when the eye is dark, how great that darkness can be." And I think that there are nations around this world that have learned that the hard way. One of them is Sweden. Sweden passed a law legalizing pornography, especially pornography with children. And they said that it was legal. Their belief was what they call saturation theory. And that is that if people get enough of this, pretty soon they'll grow sick of it. It's just like giving a child a gallon of ice cream to eat. And after they eat the gallon, they're going to be so sick of ice cream, they're not going to want ice cream anymore. And so they thought, well, if people just indulge themselves in pornography, then over time, they'll grow sick of it and they won't want it anymore. After 10 years, they had to enact new laws forbidding it because they realized people never get enough of it. They keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. It's a free fall. So what happens to a nation when it abandons God? What happens to them? Well, we're told here, right here in verse 24, that God gives them over. He gives them over to depravity and to impurity. You know, and this doesn't happen immediately. It happens over a period of time. It's that step-by-step process leading people darker and darker and darker into sin. The first step, and again, I'm not just talking about the United States. I'm talking about any of these cultures. The Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians, all of them followed the same path. In fact, if you're familiar with the book, The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, it gives 10 different steps for the fall of Rome. And as you look at them, the United States is in number 10 right now. We've gone through the same path as all these great civilizations. The first step was sexual immorality. I know that you're familiar, as I am, with the sexual revolution of the 1970s, 80s, where free love was the order of the day. And people were so bold that they would go out and they would flaunt their sexuality before the world. And that was step number one. Step number two were degrading passions. In Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, it says this: "For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural functions for that which is contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passions for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error." This is step number two of the fall of any nation, including the United States. What are we seeing out there right now? It's happening all around us. It's happening to us. The third step is the one I really want us to consider this morning. And I hope you know that this is not in judgment of anybody. This is simply saying this is what's happening. I'm not condemning anybody for their beliefs. If you choose not to believe this, that's between you and the Lord. But the third step in this is the debased or reprobate mind. And this is in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 32. Paul just clicks it off one after another. And he says this: "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness." And it goes on to talk about exactly what we're seeing happen all around us. You see, this explains why we're having such trouble today. And this word, debased, has a very interesting root. The Greek word, if translated straight out of the Greek, literally means non-functional. That God has given them over to a non-functional mind. They're not looking at life realistically. Instead, they're coming up with all these different issues. And you stop and say, how in the world could a sane person believe that? How can they teach that a man can have a baby? How can they teach that a person can change their gender, change their sex, simply because they want to? In all of your life, have you ever heard that before? Of course not. Because we've dealt with rational people and rational thinking. But we're forced to accept these things as if somehow this is real. It's not real. Never has been, never will be. It's not real. It's false. And it's coming from insanity, insane minds, that people are no longer thinking rationally. It's not only that individuals believe this, but now even our governments are saying, you have to believe this. If a parent says, I don't want my child in gender transition, then the courts can come in and put the parents in jail. What kind of insanity is that? We're being forced to say, oh no, this is okay. No, it's not okay. And you know, just saying this from the pulpit, I could be in trouble. But it has to be said because it's the truth. So what's the outcome of all this? Well, that last section, verses 19 to 32 in Romans chapter 1, gives us a list of some of the things that happen when people are given over, that God turns away from them. Just read the list of the things that he said. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. The list goes on. And you know what? It's describing where we live right now. So are we under God's judgment? Yes, we are. As a culture, we're under God's judgment, and we're receiving God's wrath right now. And it would be so easy for me to just tell you that God is a God of love, and that he loves everybody, and that one day everybody is going to go to heaven. But that's not what God's word says. This should go out as a warning. We don't want God to give us over. And here's the sad thing. The judgment that we're receiving from God cannot be reversed. It can't be changed. Nobody's going to come in and change all of this. This is the new normal. This is what we're going to have to live with from now until the time that Jesus returns. So, you know, where's God in all this? I know you're probably thinking like I'm thinking, and that is, well, wait a minute. I don't agree with any of this. I don't want any of this to happen. I'm trying to serve the Lord. I'm trying to walk with him. I'm trying to proclaim the truth. So what's supposed to happen to God's people? Those people that earnestly from the heart are seeking him. Well, are we going to have to suffer the consequences of all this and live through it? You know, Paul talked to the Thessalonians, and he said in Thessalonians chapter 1 that, and he said, many have neglected faith and a good conscience, and as a result, they've suffered shipwreck. Well, shipwreck doesn't only involve the people who are responsible for the decisions, it also involves the people that are on the ship. They may not all be guilty, but they're all going to suffer consequences for it. When God commanded that Israel be put into bondage, when they were taken into captivity, many of those people were God's people, and they were faithful in crying out to him, but they had to go into captivity. They had to suffer for it. So are we going to suffer the consequences of this? To some degree, all of us will. We will all pay a price. You know, God's people, Israel, cried out to God. And they said, Lord, this just doesn't seem fair that we should have to do this. And so God gave them a prophet, Malachi, the last prophet in the Old Testament, Malachi. And Malachi in chapter 3, verses 16 and 18, records this. The people of Israel at that time were saying, God, you're bringing judgment down on those who are rebelling against you, but what about the people that aren't? And this is what we read. This is Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. And it says, then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. And the Lord paid attention, and he heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. So what's God saying right there? What's he telling Israel right there? I know those that love me. I know those that have called on my name. I'm writing down their names as if God had to. And if he does have this giant book with everybody's name in it, God doesn't need that. He knows each one of us intimately, and he knows who are his. And those people that are crying out to the Lord, God will remember. You know, you can look at nations that have been through terrible times. Look at Germany. Look at Germany during World War II, when the state was putting to death millions of people. In Germany at that time, there were believers. There were people that honestly trusted in Jesus as their Lord. One of them was Bonhoeffer, a faithful pastor. And he was calling out to people, don't listen to those things. Don't agree with those things. This is not of God. And God remembers it. Even though a nation may go through a terrible time, God loves his people, and God will make a way. He'll make a path for his people. So the question is, what are we supposed to do now? I'm going to tell you. Most important thing right now is to draw near to God. Don't hold him at arm's length. Now's the time to draw near to the Lord. We are under judgment as a nation. We are seeing God's wrath in action. And now it's time to draw near to him. I always think about 9/11, when those planes hit the trade towers. And as a result, people clamored to get to church. Our Congress met on the steps of the Capitol to pray for the United States. They were drawing near to God. Why? Because they realized how desperate things were. That's the way we need to live. We need to draw near to God and call upon him and upon his name for his salvation. God is merciful. He knows when we suffer. He knows the struggles that we're going through. How difficult it is to live in a culture that completely denies him. He knows that. But we're also told in Scripture that the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whom he might support. And as we cry out to the Lord, like the people that are here that Malachi talks about in Malachi chapter 3, the people spoke together and they cried out to God. That's where we need to be. Our God is a merciful God, but he is also righteous. He's also just. And God will now not allow this to go unpunished. And we're seeing his punishment right now. So it's not something that's going to happen years from now, or even months or weeks. It's happening right now. We need to cry out to God and draw near to him. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, again, we do call upon your name. And Father, we repent before you for the evil that we have tolerated, that we've allowed, when we've not spoken up and said, this is not of the Lord, but we've allowed it to continue. Lord, I pray and ask that you might grant mercy and that you would cause each one of us to reflect on our own hearts and our own lives and determine with all that we have in us to draw near to you, knowing that as you promised, you'll draw near to us. And I thank you for each person here today. Each person is precious in your sight. And I ask that you might gather us together and put your arms around us and hold us close. And we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
If you would, please stand. We will sing our last hymn, which is Jesus, Draw Me Near, on number 165. We'll sing the first two verses now and the last one after the benediction. 165. Thank you.
Let me just remind everybody before I give the benediction that we have a chat and sip here, and the ladies have worked very hard, so please stay and just enjoy some good food and fellowship. Please receive the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.